Today, let's see, it looks like we have all of our committee here. So I guess we want to first start with whether we have any public comment or anyone who would like to make any comments before we begin the meeting for the agenda.
We did not. No, we did not receive any public comments.
Okay. And how about agenda modifications? Anything that anyone wanted to note?
I don't have any.
Okay. So then we will move into the budget discussion, and I'm going to, for that, turn to our budget expert, Ron.
Before we do that, we do have the previous budget committee meeting draft minutes to approve.
Okay. Okay, so those minutes are in your packet. Gosh, it was a long time ago, wasn't it?
about a year ago. Yeah.
Yeah, looking at the people who were on the list from last time versus now, I think it may be just me and Shanta. Okay, so do we have a motion to approve the minutes?
So moved.
Okay, and a second?
Second.
All right. With that, any all those in favor of approving?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay. And then we will turn to you, Ron, to lead us through the budget discussion.
Okay, that sounded unanimous. If what I heard, nobody opposed that.
There were no. Is there anyone who opposed it? No. Okay. Let's move forward then.
Okay. Is there a preference on whether I share this screen, or would you rather be able to see each other?
I have the packet pulled up, so I'm fine without sharing.
Yeah, that's fine. I have double screen. Is everybody have screens where they can see both us and the packets? Okay, so let's go with that, Ron.
Go ahead and share the screen.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's do that.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. Don't share the screen.
Don't share the screen.
We all have the packet.
Yeah, we all have it.
Gotcha.
Just need to tell us, you know, where you are in your discussion.
Okay, no problem. Okay, so let's just start with the budget variances. But before we get there, go to attachment C, which is the budget by building. And we'll keep coming back to this. That's the budget draft. Everything is sort of based on this. So let's start by looking at where we're at this year, fiscal year 2019 and 20. That's the gray shaded box on the right. It shows the current year forecast, the current year budget, and then the current year forecast versus current year budget. So what I wanted to point out was kind of where we're at versus where we think we're going to be, basically, with the forecast and how that compares to budget. And there's good news and bad news. The good news is we are roughly $122,000 better than budget for this fiscal year. The bad news is one of the main reasons that is because we're pushing some expenses from this year to next year. So if you go to the next page, which is the budget variances, and that explains how we got to that variance of $122,000. And the primary items on that page that make up that difference have to do with those expenses that I mentioned. So down there, you see research grants under property administration, $25,000. So we have not been able to hold the elevator pitch night and award those grants. We won't be doing that until next month. So we're going to spend that $25,000, but not this fiscal year. So next year is going to have $50,000 in it instead of $25,000. We're going to try to hopefully get back on schedule and have the live event next May. And then there's also above that professional fees, $14,000, which is kind of normal fluctuations that we didn't spend. You know, for legal fees, just didn't have to utilize that. The actual expenses of the elevator pitch night, about $10,000 we didn't spend. And then we had a lot of COVID-related expenses where occupancy was down, so that we had you know, lower utilization of utilities. We had lower repairs and maintenance. And then another $15,000 where we didn't spend on new flooring for the National Park Service. They've elected to defer that until next year as well. So you can see that in addition to interest, interest income being down $21,000. And that was due to falling interest rates. We were able to mitigate some of that by shifting it to, you know, between funds, but it's still, you can't beat the falling interest rates when we're invested in all in fixed income invest type investments, bonds and that sort. So we really don't take advantage of any equity. Not really allowed to. And then on the grant side, the grant income, obviously there's a favorable variance of 55,000. What we did this time, we didn't have a separate category for grant income when we did the budget last year. So we broke it out this year and moving forward, we'll do that because frankly, we didn't have any grant income before last year. So we actually budgeted for $7,500 for tech grant and other program income and 30,000 from FAMU. We're working with them on the EDA grant. A separate EDA grant from the incubator that we're talking about. And then the grant income is what we actually received of $55,000, which was $25,000 from OEV, $15,000 from DOMI, and we actually received $15,000 from FAMU. Some of that, the other $15,000 is getting pushed to next year. So those are the primary variances that we had between the 2 years. It's like I said, it still is pretty good. We had, you know, $122,000 when we budget we budgeted $60,000 to lose $60,000. So our current year forecasted cash flow is about $62,000 to the good. So any questions about this current fiscal year and the forecast? Okay, if not, then we'll move on to the actual budget for the upcoming year. And I gave you a little narrative that discusses a lot of what's different between, you know, if you look at our budget from last year as sort of a normal year, you know, what the budget looked like. The forecast this year is not normal. There's nothing normal about what happened this year. So it's kind of hard to compare the two. But if you compare last year's budget to what we're budgeting for this year, it makes it a little easier to sort of nail down what the differences are. And that is that far right column. So the big variances that you see there, obviously the grant income of $90,000. The current year budget, we only budgeted for things that we think we're going to get or that we know pretty well that we've gotten. And one of those is the Knight grant. So that was $35,000. We're not going to be able to spend that this fiscal year. We're going to spend it next fiscal year. There wasn't any point in going out and buying a bunch of lab equipment when we can't get anybody into the lab at this time. So we're pushing that income and the related expense into next year. So that's $35,000 in grant revenue. And if you look down below, about two-thirds of the way down the page, you'll see grant expense of $35,000. So on the bottom, it washes out, but that explains some of the bigger numbers that you see there. And then the other big change is interest income is down $55,700, which is a huge number. And the main reason it's down is because I factored in the assumption that we get the EDA grant and that we are building the incubator. And if we do that, then our investments are going to decline as we make our match payments of $1.8 million over the next 2 years. So I figured that, and you see that in the bottom as well, where we have capital expenditures of $900,000. I'm budgeting that we're going to spend half of our $1.8 million in the first year. We have, and the way that, and I don't know the entire cash flow of what that EDA grant could look like, but with our other match partners in the mix, I think that's a fair assumption that we'll each spend half of that over the first year. And we have to pre-fund all of those expenditures and then get reimbursed. So most of this is how do we fund working capital? But once we know more, we may have to come back and revise what this looks like. But I wanted to make sure that we factored all that into the interest income projections. So that's a big number. The other is the, you have the authority employee expense. is up $19,000, and that's basically just payroll increases. I factored in $5,000 for myself, which has been typical year to year. I'm not assuming that's going to happen. That's obviously up to the board, and that's going to be voted on at the October board meeting. And then I also factored in 4% for staff, which is what's, again, happened in the past. And then that also includes, and you'll see this on the narrative on attachment B, but that includes the cost of employee benefits that we haven't had in the past, such as life insurance and cell phone reimbursement. We did go ahead and add all four staff to the cell phone reimbursement since they're now all working from home. Before it was just half of us that were on call all the time. And then the life insurance is a new benefit. We're still in the process of trying to get the county to set that up for us. They have been very slow to respond. We finally got the county commission to approve it. We're waiting on county legal to draft an MOU so that the HR department is allowed to move forward. But we've pushed it as far as we can go at this point. I'm just trying to get them to move. And then obviously we've got the annual increases in health benefits and retirement benefits. And that's a big chunk of it as well. And then you see the $25,000 on the research grants, which is, you know, pushing it from this year into the next year and doubling up. So we've got $50,000 for the year in that. So that's the pretty much the explanation of what's different from year to year. Does anybody have any questions about that?
I do not, Ron, but I did, I always have this issue of what is our current, what are our current bank and fund balances? So I know we don't have it.
Oh, yeah.
But I would like to have that when we present this to the board.
Okay.
I think it's important that we understand what's actually in the account versus just the income statement.
Okay.
I'm all about the balance sheet.
Okay. Yeah, so the balance sheet's in good shape. We're over $250,000 in cash and operating cash. And again, this is also on the monthly treasurer's report.
Right.
As well as the investment balances. And the investment.
We should have the year end, you know, we want to have the kind of year to date as we look at it.
Okay. Yeah, I can do that. But and just so you know, the investment balances are approximately, I believe it's $3.8 million.
And Ron, I could be missing it now. I'll apologize on the front end, but just making sure that, you know, it's clearly footnoted those things that would have come out of this fiscal year, but that'll be carried to next fiscal year. So things like the pitch, just so that's clear, so people when
that's on the attachment B. There's a budget narrative,
right? Okay,
and that explains all of that.
Okay, and
not just that, but all of the changes that I just mentioned.
Yeah, and I guess I was thinking. And I know it's hard when you're doing like with spreadsheets, but I was just thinking like if there could be an asterisk or something back to it, to that note.
Oh, you want some footnotes? Okay.
I mean, just, and if no one else thinks that, then it's fine. But I was just saying it would just make it so people are not having a flip between two documents to see it or to get the explanation. But again, just me. And if nobody else agrees, then I'm fine.
I think it's a good point. And so what you're saying is those expenses that were not incurred this year, but will be sort of doubled up on next year, maybe they're just highlighted, or, you know, something like that.
Just say, cause if it's all in that one document, then it keeps people from having to, I got to go back to look at this. And if no one else thinks that, I'm fine, but that's just me when I'm looking at stuff, it's easier if it's kind of right.
Sure, I can tie it back. No problem.
All right, thank you.
I agree with Shanta that I think that'd be very, very, very helpful. And your narrative was fantastic. There's a lot of great information there, but an easy way to jump back and forth is gonna eliminate a lot of questions for
people. Yeah, I can put footnote references on there, but I don't think I can actually get the footnotes on that page or anything else on that one page. So I've squeezed it as much as I can squeeze it. But yeah.
And that's why I was saying, like, it may be as simple as an asterisk, like, to make sure that people know that, like, it's there and this is where they may have to still go to another sheet or on the next page.
Understood.
But if I'm not looking at the narrative and that at the same time, I might, like, gloss over it and then it create questions that don't need to be, versus if there's a quick asterisk, it's like I'm noting this and then it's telling you to go somewhere else, whether it's at the bottom of the page or another page.
Gotcha.
But it's just a visual note to
maybe just a footnote.
I'll do that.
Numeration. Okay.
So beyond that, so is the rest of that is the detail that goes into the, you know, all of those calculations. As I've mentioned in the past, we do a zero-based budget. So we start from scratch each year. Even though we compare to last year, we still look at every contract. We look at everything that we know about, every lease. And it only includes those things that we know about. We try to project, you know, increases in expenses and things that, you know, like utilities and other things like that. But we don't assume that we're going to get certain grants other than what I did related to the EDA grant. I've also given you a rent roll, which I know April has asked for in the past, and it just gives you a quick summary of all of the leases that we still have. And then we project those out in the rest of our model, by month. We actually have to provide a monthly budget to Talcor, because that way, when you get your financial statements, you have something to compare to each month. And then on the, there's a revenue potential. Oh, wait, I think I may have skipped one. I did. So on attachment F, you'll see a list of deferred maintenance items, just so that we don't forget that those things are out there. It's hard for us. It's been very, very hard for us to spend the money on this. You know, we have some major expenses hanging out there, like remodeling the elevators. It may get soon to the point where we can't get replacement parts for those elevators, and it's going to take a substantial upgrade. And we think that's going to be in the neighborhood of $70,000 a piece. You know, obviously we have reserve funds in an emergency. We could pay for those. But right now we're maintaining them. They get inspected. They're safe. But it's just something to keep in mind from an expense standpoint, that stuff's still hanging out there. There's some other painting, signage, and probably the other biggest item is the parking lots. You can see there down at the bottom of that page, that there's roughly $100,000 worth of paving that needs to be done soon. I mean, it's cracking, and we try to keep things patched and sealed the best we can. But the Morgan and Johnson and Collins building area all needs an overlay pretty bad. So
what is the plan for that, Ron? Or do we have a maintenance schedule that we are moving forward with? Like next year, we're going to do these five things? Because otherwise,
That's what this is. This is telling you guys, this is what we have. This is the deferred maintenance schedule, and it's, do you want to spend now or do you want to spend later? Or
So let me ask you a question about that. The $422,000 in total deferred maintenance, that is independent of, it is not included in any other number. That's a we need to figure out how.
We do have 25,000 of that in the current operating expense numbers. So you can see the column. You see the hold column is 396,000, and 25,000 is what we've got. So that's okay. That's the interior paint for National Park Service, SEAC. Actually, I believe that's floor. No, that is. I'm sorry, that's not paint. That's flooring. But that's the part. That's the what was $15,000 deferred from last year is going to actually be 20 by the time we get it into this year.
But we're already showing net operating loss of $100,000 in the projected budget, right?
Right. So yeah, so this would add to that loss, or some of, yeah, most of it would add to the loss, unless the elevators we might capitalize and be a capital expense, but.
Okay, so this is gonna sound like a bit of a departure, but I'm gonna tie it back, at least in my own mind. The common area maintenance, there's a $62,000 of CAM charges that are applied, that's revenue coming in. What portion is that all? What actually does that cover?
So that is an allocation that was negotiated as part of the restructuring back in 2014. And it is, just the big picture, it's 100% of the direct costs of maintaining the park, which isn't really a big chunk of it. It's most of it's 25% of our overhead costs related to staffing and the facilities related to the staff. So, and then we take that amount and we spread it over the total acreage of the park, and whether it's developed or not, and only those who have developed properties pay. So it's mostly FSU and FAMU and Danfoss and folks like that who are actually in that. The folks that are in an office lease, they're not paying CAM charges, for example. So it's merely a way to allocate some of our overhead costs and the costs related to the actual direct maintenance of the park. It is not a fund that we set aside as a sinking fund to, you know, help pay, or some reserve fund to help pay for maintenance expenses. It just goes into the general fund. So basically, if we want to pay for any of this stuff, it's coming out of whatever our general funds are, whether it's the cash balance or the reserves that we have in the $2.8 million. I'm sorry, $3.8 million.
The biggest expense for this deferred maintenance is signage, which is something we talk about all the time. But the with I think it's 126. I'm trying
yes.
To yeah. So, but the elevators and things like that, which are pretty important for the
yep.
maintenance of the building, you know, I feel like we need to have a plan, or you know, the authority needs to have a plan to deal with some of these things. And we know that we go into every fiscal year, we're very conservative in our estimates. So we're always going to be looking at a break even or a little bit of a loss, because we don't know about leases that are coming that are going to be renewed and that sort of thing. And that's our revenue. So it seems like we cannot allow these deferred maintenance items to just keep stacking up. We need to say this year we're going to spend $50,000 on them, or we're going to spend $100,000 this year and $100,000 next year and $100,000 the year after, to really knock these things out.
And we have done some of that. We did it if you recall, with the money we spent on the restrooms in Morgan and Johnson.
Right.
I believe that was over $100,000.
Right. But some of these are fundamental to the building and the way that, you know, the facility is maintained. So,
and that is entirely up to the committee on if they want to go ahead and schedule some of those to spend. That's why I put them on here, is for you to look at and tell me if that's what you want to do.
Well, I guess the elevators are the biggest concern for me, you know, when you start worrying about not being able to get parts, and it's a safety issue, and it certainly affects the value of the buildings.
Yeah, and let me just clarify, they're safe, they're inspected. Mm. That's not an issue.
Yeah, it is, yeah, but I would think kind of with April, not necessarily on the safety issue, but like the longer you put it off, I think the more potential issues you have versus if you go ahead and do it now, because I can tell you it's, you know, very easy and the safe thing to do to continue to push deferred maintenance off, but I can tell you it doesn't help you 5 years down the road. So if April said, if we could start chipping away at, you know, something every year or what have you, I just think it would put us in a better position down the road.
And I see, we've got 24,000, something like that on the list, but I just 25-7, I just feel like we need to be a little bit more aggressive in addressing some of those issues.
So which items
were not even at 5%.
So what would the committee like to spend on?
Well, I guess I would say to you,
Keith, you're on mute.
Yeah. Go ahead, Keith.
Sorry about that. I would say elevators, because it's not only safety, but if they were to shut down, it could be a ADA compliance issue as well. I mean, being able to get to your office if the elevator is not working, if you have any disabilities, could create some serious issues.
That's true.
When I think, Ron, you were asking for the amount.
Yeah, which items, I'm asking for your direction on which items you would like to move from hold to current operating expenses.
Well, I think really that I would look at it as a percentage. You know, we have $422,000 in deferred maintenance. We have a budget that addresses $25,000 of that. So that's less than 5% of the deferred maintenance items. And I think it needs to be, you know, higher than that, but I think you are the one who's in the best position to know, is the elevator 20 years old? Is it, you know, at what point is it reaching the end of it?
It's original equipment from 1987.
Okay.
I mean, they're obviously, we've maintained them and all of that, right. But yeah, it's original equipment from 1987.
So 33 years old.
Yeah.
Yeah. And are they, both of them are that old?
The other one was 1993. And you got Stephanie jumping up and down right now because she's excited because she wants to replace them.
Stephanie here. You're absolutely right, Ron. I'm sitting at the edge of my seat right now yelling, yay!
I have to see the video. She's like, yeah.
They said we can't see the face, but Ron can hear it all the way through the screen, right?
I know it, yeah.
Ron, real quick, you showed that we have about $26,000 in current year OPEX. How much has our deferred maintenance balance grown in the past year? We're at 422. What was it this time last year?
If you give me 1 second, I can probably answer that. But
because I agree with the general sentiment that we need to chip away at that faster than $25,000 a year is going to do, but it's a bit concerning. The other side of that is that we're having to take those dollars out of reserve because we're $100,000 upside down in NOI this year.
Yeah.
You know, and I'll just say this. I have been on this board for many years now, I don't know, 5 years, 6 years. And the issue, in my opinion, for the authority is that we have to decide what business we're in. And we have got to make investments in the park that are going to pay off long-term. I think the incubator is fantastic. It's going to be a wonderful thing for us, but we have buildings that look like they're from the 1970s and look like it. And if you were a developer or you were a private sector person, you would be doing everything you could to upgrade, update, and keep those facilities, you know, modern. And, you know, I'm a landlord. Many of you, you know, several of you are landlords. You have to invest in the physical structures. And I feel like we keep kicking the can down the road. We don't want to make the big moves. We're very conservative. It's little bit, little bit, little bit. And, you know, in 10 years or 15 years, those buildings are going to be a mess. You're going to have, you know, they're just not, they're not suitable for where things are, and they're not attractive to people who might want to locate. So it's been a big frustration of mine that we are, you know, we just nibble around the edges and we don't, you know, we could bond, we could make a major move. But we choose for lots of different reasons, and some of them really great reasons, to just kind of keep on keeping on. And I really hope that in the future, the board will take a more aggressive look at major rehab of these facilities, such that any of us would say, I want to be there.
April, I agree with your comments. I think that it's important to understand what the LCRDA can do to create a destination. There are things that that occur in the park that are that are a function of the innovation or research that's happening. Then there's what I perceive as a responsibility of the LCRDA to create an environment where those types of things want to happen.
Right.
And whether that's something as from the real estate minded, as specific as paying attention to the visual appearance of the buildings, or bringing the infrastructure in place that allows people that work there to enjoy their work day, the restaurant, whatever it is. I mean, there are things that we can do as the LCRDA. I'm not sure how to get there, but I think long-term we need to be focused on what do we need to do in order to create the destination. If we're successful with that, the entities in our park and the community that are proficient at research and innovation, they're going to do what they do, and they're going to do it well. We need to create the landscape.
Yeah. And we have a huge opportunity. I mean, it to me, it's sort of like it needs a cool factor. It's very clearly not cool at Innovation Park. I mean, it doesn't, there's pieces of it that seem cool, but there's a lot of it that just is seriously stuck in the 1970s. So, you know.
Let me just agree with you, April. I think now would be a really good time to begin to take a look at some of those items and move forward the same time we are hopefully and optimistically going to be looking forward to an incubator. And that's going to be something that's going to attract a lot of attention. It's going to have developers coming through. And I think if we can begin to kind of catch up, as you're suggesting, I think we'll be a lot better off as a board and as a park if we can start moving in that direction.
Yeah. Okay, well, with that said, that's my piece. I leave you that as some of my parting concerns for the park and hopes for you all moving forward. So what is your thought, Ron, on, you know, or Stephanie, what are your thoughts on what do we need to do, or what could we recommend as some enhancements to deal with some of the deferred maintenance for the next year?
Yeah, thank you for asking, April. So my suggestion is we do the oldest elevator first, which is the one in the Fuqua Center. And then we do the repaving in the Collins building, because that is the worst of all of the parking lots. And the Collins building parking lot is obviously where the incubator is. Mm-hmm. And then phase in the repaving of Morgan Johnson maybe in the next budget year and do our sealing and striping then at that time too. And then we can phase in, because we can wait a little bit longer to do the newer elevator, which is in the Johnson building.
Right.
We still have a few more years, in my opinion, but the one that's going to be the biggest problem for us is the oldest one. And that is the one that I'm told all the time, if something happens with it, oh, we're so lucky we found this part. But that was like 2-3 years ago. So it's coming to the point now where something's going to happen with it and we won't be able to find parts for it. Code is changing and things like that, elevator code. So that's my biggest worry, is that oldest elevator.
So you're saying, the parking lot for Collins. So that's a 46,000 plus a 70,000. That's an extra 130,000.
Baby steps.
So how do we pay for that?
It comes out of our reserves.
So we have $3.8 million in investment money.
Yeah, let me, I will confirm that, but yes. Off the top of my head, that's what it is.
And you know, the history of the park is that all of these buildings were built through bonds, and we were paying debt service on those bonds for, 25 years, 30 years. And then those buildings began to be paid for. And, you know, we just banked the money, essentially. Tell us, Ron, what is that?
No, what happened is the way these were funded with bonds, it was pegged on the leases that were attached to the building. So it may have been 125. The leases were pegged based on the bonds. I'm sorry, it was like 125% of the bond payments. But the once those ended, the rents basically went down to a management fee of like $5,000 a year. That was it. So there was never this huge windfall once the debt was retired. That was the challenge that we had, and that's why we did the restructuring, was to give us the ability to actually earn some lease revenue. But that didn't start until 2014.
Yeah.
And what we got out of that restructuring was the Johnson Building. And that Johnson Building was the one that had the lease revenue that was pretty solid. And to this day, as you can see from that other summary page, is the one that generates the most cash. But no, there's not been a bankable windfall that we've had in the past. There was never that opportunity to do that.
But the fact is they were bonded, and it was, you know, it was the way that we built those buildings.
Right. But the reason they were able to do that is because they had long-term leases with the universities.
Right.
The problem we have now is we don't have long-term leases. Well, not just the universities, but also with the state and the Phipps building. And also in Collins, we had two long-term leases. We no longer have long-term leases that we can use to go to the bank and do some sort of bond. I've already had conversations with Hancock, at least, and told them what the structure of our current deals are. And they're saying, no, that's not enough to be able to back a bond. Even if it's a private placement bond, like what we did with the Centennial building. Mm-hmm. So that's the big challenge. So, and we're not able to do, I mean, basically that's, I believe, is the only way that we can borrow money is with a bond.
Yeah. Well, the bottom line is that these are public, this is a park that has public assets on it that benefits the local community. And I just have to believe that there is a way that we can invest in the parks long-term. But to the question now of, do we take money, do we recommend to the board that we take money from reserves in order to make these upgrades? Does anyone have strong feeling against doing that?
And before you answer that question, just so you know, the July 31st, balances, which is the most current that I have for our investment accounts, is $3.7 million. Plus we have, I think, around $250 or $280 in operating cash.
So what, in your opinion, Ron, what did you think the reserves were for?
Well, $1.8 million of that is our matching
for the
funds
for the EDA grant. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. So now you're talking about 1.9 million left after that. So it's that's at the board's discretion on how to use that. I mean, some of it is to manage the swings that you have in net operating income. I mean, if you got a year like we're going to have and you're down 100,000, you got to have some reserves to cover it. So, and then the other thing is we have coming up, and that was another. There's another sheet, which is the last sheet in your packet, which shows the revenue potential from some of the other buildings. We're going to take a big hit in 2 years from Phipps.
Right.
We're going to drop $100,000 a year in revenue for 5 years. So we're going to have the ability to cover that swing if we don't have any other, revenue increases. So those are the things that I'm looking at, is just to make sure that we have, you know, enough of a reserve to survive some of these downswings that are going to happen.
So do we also have a, you've described some of the hits that are on the horizon. We know we have a deferred maintenance balance to chip away at. Is there a revenue plan to get caught up, or are we looking at a long-term downward trend?
Well, and I did provide you with, I believe it was a five-year forecast a few months ago to the board, and that included that issue of what's going to happen. And I apologize, I don't have that handy, but
can I ask that you include that in the board packet as well?
Yeah.
Okay.
And I think I'm looking a little bit that it's that next 5 years. We know there are some hits in the first 5 years, but if we have this downward trend on the revenue side, and we have deferred maintenance that we have to chip away at and hopefully clear up in that same period of time, what happens when we get into year six? Do we have things in place in order to start stepping it up?
No, we don't, and we don't have a long enough term leases to actually do any sort of real projections beyond 5 years. Okay. That's the challenge. This is a short term. We have all short term leases at this point. The longest lease that we have is with the National Park Service. That's going to run another 5 years, but even that one can be canceled with 60 days notice. At this point, they're in a 5 year renewal period. So.
Okay, let me talk this, say this out loud and just think it through. This is not intended to be direction, but if we know that we have some challenges that we're going to have to address in the next few years, it seems like we also ought to have a plan in place so that when we start looking at backfilling lease space, if all of our leases are essentially short-term leases, to understand that we won't help us chip away at a long-term challenge if we re-up on a lease term that continues the downward trajectory. In other words, we need to be planning for the turnaround. And if that's not possible, or if that's not marketable, well, then we need to come up with a different plan.
Well, and just to clarify on the Phipps building lease with the Florida Department of Transportation, that lease will expire at the end of that 5 year period. So 7 years from now, that will expire. And so at that point, then we're back to the negotiating table to try to get market rate rents for that. They were even before that goes down, they were still like $9 a square foot. And it's going to drop to $2 a square foot. I didn't negotiate the lease, by the way. So basically they backloaded any incentives that they had. But I'm not sure where the state's going to be in terms of any negotiation on that lease. I've had a meeting with their director. And he's, I don't want to go into the whole posture, but they do have pressure to move that operation to Gainesville. But they also acknowledge that Gainesville doesn't have the kind of facility that we have here. So I don't know which way that's going to go. But the other part of this is, you know, the state looks at that as it's state land. And we're leasing back to them state land. So I think that factors into what they think they ought to be paying as well. But anyway, that's it. In terms of all of the leases, it's, you know, this is a nature of the beast. And this goes back to, I think, what April was saying. You know, we're a research park who is entirely funded based on lease revenues. So while we want to be a research park, we still have to be in the leasing business if we want to fund anything that we're doing. And we do it with short-term leases. And part of the downside of the restructuring was that we no longer have long-term leases with the universities, and which was good for those buildings that we had built. but it wasn't good for anything else. So anyway, April, I'm sorry to cut you.
No, I just think, you know, we're in a great position. I don't think we should be down about this. I think we should be positive because there's a lot of things happening that are all going to align and bring Innovation Park a tremendous opportunity with the work that's going on at the airport, the blueprint money. You know, all of this is going to energize the EDA grant that's energizing to the park and making the park a more integral to everything else that's happening in the community. So I think we have to take our the conservative hat off and say, where are we going to go? How do we make this? How do we finance this? How do we finance upgrades? How do we work together with partners? Can the city and the state or and the county assist us with this? You know, the mayor is extremely, he said from the get-go, he wants innovation back in Innovation Park. You know, he wants to see some big ideas and some big opportunities. And I think that we could get the city and the county to help us with that, but we have to bring it to them. So, you know, these are all very important long-term conversations that the board needs to have. And for now we need to decide, given that, do we want to just kick the can down the road and say, you know, we'll stick with our $25,000 renovation budget and hope our strategy on the elevator, or do we, you know, want to advise that they make an investment this year to improve the facilities?
Can I add one more thing? There is a potential revenue coming, depending on the outcome of Project Juggernaut, to keep in mind, and that's potential $805,000 related to spending. Again, depending on how that final MOU works out, but
right.
Some of it's going to be dedicated to marketing. Some of it's going to be dedicated to site readiness, pad ready, you know, developing pad ready sites, and some of it can be go towards office renovations and getting space ready for OEV to help market. So there may be some dollars that can be directed that way. But again, that's to be determined based on the outcome of Project Juggernaut.
Okay. Ray, you've been quiet.
Well, I was going to ask, what's the timing on that Project Juggernaut?
We're supposed to hear a decision by the end of the calendar year.
Well, I go back to April's point. I don't want to kick that can down the road again. I think if we're going to start putting the park on some type of footing, so that we will be prepared to bring in small, innovative companies, we're going to have space that's going to be attractive for them. And we're going to have that incubation facility underway and completed by the time we could do a 1 or a 2 year process to get all of our deferred maintenance out of the way. So that's kind of where I'd like to see us come out, is try to get half of it, bite off half the apple this year and go after half the apple next year. If we're not getting any income from those investments, I don't see any sense in having it tied up in a reserve right now.
Okay, do we need a motion here?
Yes.
I will move that I recommend that we tackle one half of the deferred maintenance costs in this budget through a combination of operating costs and the reserves, and defer the remainder with strong encouragement for the committee to look at next year to finish this off.
Okay. Is there a second to that?
A second.
Okay, Keith seconds that. Okay, any discussion that others want to have on that?
Can I add that basically to give us the latitude with Stephanie's assistance on where we spend that half?
Absolutely. Yes.
Okay.
So I think it's important that when we bring this forward to the full board that we're able to somehow to describe the maybe the longer term plan. And I agree, Ray, I absolutely agree. We need to efficiently work through the deferred maintenance. The fact is that we're starting this in a year where we're already projected to be upside down. And so being able to describe the plan and how we're going to, I don't know how to say it other than right the ship. I mean, that because that's it's a bit daunting to take on another $200,000 of cost in a year when we're cash negative.
Let me ask a question. Would it be more palatable to do a third and try to do it over 3 years as opposed to trying to do it over two, or does it won't make that much of a difference?
I don't think it matters. I think, you know, depending on what happens in the future, and this kind of goes back to what April was saying, which is you have up years, you have down years. This past year, we're going to be plus $100,000. Next year, we're going to be down $100,000. So if you're going to do it, we have reserves that can pay for it. And as Ray said, we're not earning anything on that anyway, as low as interest rates are. So we might as well get it done. If we're saying we don't want to kick it down the road anymore, we might as well just get it done. I mean, frankly, we could do it all this year and it wouldn't, you know, but I do like the idea, being as I think April was alluding to, my conservative nature, that maybe doing it over 2 years is better. You know, hopefully we can have a turn in cash flow the following year a little bit. But like I said, if we're going to spend it out of reserves, it doesn't matter whether we do it all in 1 year or in 2 years. It's really not going to make any difference.
Well, let me just add that I encourage us to stay with the 2 years, but prior to the board meeting where we discussed this, and to pick up on Kevin's thought, why doesn't Stephanie come back and take a look at, as you suggest, Ron, what is the best way to use approximately half of the funds for that? And if doing the whole driveway renovation in one fell swoop, there's no reason to split it up. So, I mean, I think somehow we need to be sure that even if it comes out a little more, we ought to be prepared to go ahead and do that if it's more efficient to do certain things like the elevator and then whatever else comes after that. If we've got the resources to do it, we've got a good possibility with Project Juggernaut. We've got an excellent prospect with the incubator. And we've got all kinds of things happening with regard to the airport, blueprint monies, et cetera, all around us. So I'm encouraging us to come back at least and have an opportunity to massage that half around whatever Stephanie comes back with in specifics.
And should we put the elevator as kind of first in that half, or?
It sounded like that's what she was suggesting.
At least the Fuqua elevator, which is the older of the two.
Yeah, Stephanie here. Yeah, and I mentioned for Collins paving, just for liability purposes, you know, with the cracks, we've got roots, you know, and all the different. Sorry about that. I'm working from home. Anyway, with the different cracks in the pavement and roots and things like that, just liability wise, really the parking lot in Collins. In my opinion, is one of the worst ones out of the three. So that's why I said.
Is there any, Stephanie, is there any advantage to getting them all done at the same time from a cost standpoint?
No.
No,
it'll all be the same.
Mobilizing those folks, they don't charge more.
All at once, no. They'll do it for the same, what they won't, it'll be the same cost whether I do it all together or separate.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, and the elevators, you kind of want to separate anyway, but.
Yes.
Ron and Stephanie, not to get in the middle of your means and methods, but in advance of this going to the board, I would actually like to have an opportunity to see some of this in terms of just do a brief tour to be able to put my eyes on it so that when it does
great
go to
idea.
The board, I'm speaking more from a position of authority and less from a hypothetical position.
Great.
I love that. That sounds wonderful. In fact, I was going to mention, if anyone wanted to drive through, feel free to take a look, you know, drive through the parking lot. Just let me know when you'd like to. I'd be happy to meet you and take you on a little tour so we can look at everything.
Perfect.
Okay, yeah, and I do think that it's going to be important that, so we have this, the motion on the table here. We are sticking with the two-year recommendation, and we're asking that Stephanie and Ron come back to us prior to the board meeting with just sort of their game plan of priorities, right?
So what we'll do is we'll just add another column. You know, we'll put what's going to be current year and then another column to show what's going to go next year.
Okay.
You know, the following year, so you'll be able to see which year goes where. So.
Okay, good. And so with that, is there, I guess we should just go ahead and vote then. Is all those in favor of moving forward with the two-year plan to address the deferred maintenance, say aye?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Okay, so the motion passes, and we'll look forward to seeing that from Stephanie and Ron. And I'm sure that the board will have a lot of questions for us about our thinking on it. And so I just encourage the committee to be sure to speak up and help us explain this thinking.
And I've already spoken with Kim about this, about the budget, how, and to make sure that it's going to be on general business and not on consent. So it will be open for discussion without any issues.
Okay, that's great. And you'll convey to Kim our discussion?
Yes.
Yeah, that'd be great. Okay, so Ron, where do we need to move next then?
So that's, it's just a motion to approve the budget as
amended.
As amended, yes.
The move.
Second.
Okay, any further discussion on the budget? Hearing none, all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, Ron, do you have, we have a calendar for budget approval on
this? I just want to let you know that the executive committee meeting has been canceled. So it will basically, it's just going to move directly to the board for consideration.
Okay. Any other new business for the group? Okay. And then hearing none, I'd like to call the meeting adjourned then.
Thanks, everybody.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you, April.
Everybody, for your discussion.
Thank you, everybody. I'm so excited.
You are. She likes.
You can see
money.
The smile coming through the screen.
It is. I know.
Like somebody just gave her a gift card to Amazon.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. See you later.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.